morning. Today is Thursday, September the 6th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
You've been rather busy, or at least the department has. I don't know if you've been working, actually, but the department has been halfway busy in the
Absolutely.
Last little bit.
Yes. We've been busy from top to bottom.
Bodies left and right, plants left and right.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll talk about that in a sec. Our Why Do They Say That this morning is, for what reason is the Wall Street trader who sells stock short called a bear? Since you have one on your shoulder.
That's right. State bear. Not sure.
Got a guess? Or are you just going to say nope?
Don't know.
All right. Because such a person sells stocks without having them in the hope that the price will go down and he can purchase what he needs for delivery at a lower cost. And so the old folk saying still applies to him. He sold the skin before he got the bear.
Wow. There you go. Interesting. Why do we say that? See?
Okay,
good
fine.
Deal.
So you've had, yeah, it's been a busy 4 weeks.
It has been a busy
four weeks.
Yeah. You know, we've, you know, we always talked about the, you know, we talk about homicides in the hills and things that occur out, you know, beyond, you know, the city limits and where people have the hills and fences and long roads to hide behind. You know, we've had a couple cases lately where we've had, you know, bodies in burning
vehicles. Body in the road. Now, that's something that's a little bit different. Was it Bell Springs earlier this week or last week?
Body in roads, yep. Body possibly dumped out there.
Oh, it was a dump. It wasn't like somebody in the back of a pickup truck.
Right, yes.
Kind of a situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very, very concerning. And it's just kind of, again, echoes what we've been saying the whole time is that, you know, there's still some violent, violent people out in the hills and that are... hell-bent on trying to continue growing illegal marijuana and doing illegal operations, and that that there's no protection of the law, you know, out there, and people are running their own regulatory services out there.
Is it vigilante, or is it a different cultural structure?
Well, we don't know, really, what's going on with the specific cases. It could be either one, but the fact is that there's a lot of desperate people out there during this time. Marijuana, you know, the price is going down. Regulatory agencies are looking at every growing operation, and so the pressure's on people right now. That if they're outside of the law, that there's pressure from all sides, and when their price point is so low, you know, there's a lot of risk and a lot on the line. So, you know, if someone crosses them, then they may take, you know, a violent, you know, stance and take someone out.
More risk, less reward. It's
Not
a good economic profile.
No, that has definitely happened.
We've been getting these PSAs for these cannabis workshops about getting permits and for, it was Humboldt, Mendocino, Trinity?
Right.
That ship has sailed, hasn't it, for Humboldt?
No, I mean, the state is still working with people to try and so that there's new cultivation permits that people can come up with and apply for.
In Humboldt County?
In Humboldt County, yes, you can. So there's people that, but the fact is the ship has sailed when people were allowed to grow marijuana while they were getting their permit. As of January, if you don't have a permit, you cannot sell, you cannot grow marijuana in the county.
So this allows you to get a permit and then grow in the future?
That's right. So there are new cultivation sites being being developed all over the county. People are spending money to try and develop cultivation sites, processing centers, those kind of things. They can't operate until they are licensed and permitted. And
so is that a building permit then?
Yeah. So it's what everyone else has to do, right? You can't sell alcohol until you have your ABC permit, but you can build the structure. You can get all the permits in process, but you cannot actually sell it until you actually have the permit on the wall approved by ABC. It's the same regulatory scheme when it comes to our local permit, and you can't sell on a state level and get a state level permit unless you have a local permit.
So the deadline of last year really wasn't a deadline.
Well, it was a deadline
maybe
for
a delay.
Lot. No, so there are a lot of people. So we had 15,000 marijuana grows in our county. We had about, you know, 2,500 that put in for a permit process. We have about 1,000 now that have either interim permits or, you know, are permitted. And the county
subsequent to that initial or
yes.
addition to
yes.
that initial group.
Exactly. And so everyone that's outside of those 1,000 permits, those people, you know, can still apply for a permit, still work for a permit, but they can't actually grow, sell, transport marijuana until they have that actual permit from the county.
How strong or developed is that black market still? Because it doesn't seem like it took too much of a hit.
It is. I mean, it is something that's been there for 40 years, right? And so it is something that, you know, you have some very intricate, very developed black market,
Channels of distribution.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have everything set up. They have brokers come in. They have a whole, a business plan in of its own that they can ship, you know, wherever they need to ship it. There's marijuana that's going out of country to different foreign lands from Humboldt County. It's black market. So, you know, there's a lot of things that a lot of moving parts with this. But I really believe that that people that are outside of the permit process are feeling the hurt, and they're feeling the pressure, because not only are the state regulatory agencies coming down, the local ones are coming down on them, and we have our building and planning that are sending notices to property owners saying, you need to remediate this property of all these violations, or these are going to be the daily fines that are going to be occurring.
Are those fines occurring, and are they being honored?
Yes, they are. So there are people that once they receive notices, they're walking into building and planning and trying to settle, trying to fix those things, trying to come up with a plan to do it. So they are working.
And those monies go where?
Right now, I believe it's just a pot in planning building.
Oh, it's going to get ugly when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So this pot that you guys have got.
Yes. Huge pot.
I won't even ask you about harvest season. How big is it? How much money is sitting in there waiting to be allocated to something?
Well, I'm really not sure. That's the planning and building department. But they have, you know, there's fines, there's also permit fees, there's a lot of money in that right now. But also,
those dollars weren't pre-assigned, or there's no strings attached to the when they're,
well, I think they're all going to be tied to general fund, I think eventually. But right now what they have to do is planning and building has to hire, because of all the influx of here. I mean, normal planning and building planners, they have 5 or 6, 7 planners, right, for the county. They've had a triple, you know, quadruple the amount of staff that they had up there to deal with all the permits, all the marijuana permits. And that's above and beyond their normal building permits and those kind of things. So they are, you know, they have just this influx. And
now, are those temporary hires? Now that you're the spokesperson for them,
yeah, I know. I guess
good move.
I should have.
You just stepped right into that one, huh?
I should have talked to John Ford before I came here today. So a lot of these are. A lot of them are extra help, temporary, you know, employees, and you know, to try to get them through this process. And so they have hired consultants. They have hired extra help personnel to try and assist them with this, because it is overwhelming. And then also you have an industry that has never been a part of a regulatory process before. So there's a lot of the growers that are just starting out that are trying to get permitted, or new cultivation people that are trying to get permitted. And there's a lot of handholding with this. A lot of people coming in, lots of meetings with building and planning to discuss this. And and because there's a lot of misinformation out
there. But
that's
why they got the staff, right?
And that's why they have the staff to do it. But they have, again, the building and planning of the county has bent over backwards to try and assist people with this process. And the state has also recognized this.
How much longer is the county going to continue to spend additional dollars to help this industry?
Well,
if it was the restaurant industry,
right,
or the automotive industry, or pick another industry, I doubt that there would be anything medical.
Right.
That there would be anything close to the sympathies.
Right. Well, I think the biggest frustration right now is that there are 750, 800 interim permits. So these people are still going through, and trying to get some of the regulatory sign-offs that they need. And because there are, dozens of agencies that have to sign off on a permit and using
right,
the water and that
more
kind
of
stuff.
Gauntlet,
it's very complicated. And exactly. And so you have to get one signature before you get the other. And so it's a very time consuming process. So I think they recognize that and providing more staff to try and get people through that so they can get the permits. And the people that have the permits, those are the people that are paying the taxes, okay? So there's an incentive for the county to make sure that we get people through the permit process because those are the people that are going to be paying the taxes per square foot, which then helps the general fund, helps us with all those essential services that are going out into these areas.
2 years down the road, okay, you know whether or not some of these folks that took out the early permits, if they were serious or not?
Yes.
Okay, there's been enough time for the pig to pass through the python. Okay.
That's right.
At that point, does code enforcement get really aggressive? Do the fines jump up significantly? Because then there really is a clear delineation between those who do and those who don't. Are you going to be pushing for the general plan to start to have, marijuana zones as a specific designation? Is it going to get structured and formalized to the extent that many others?
That is a good question. I hope so. I think the main thing that I think that the message that we have to send out to the growers are that they have had plenty of time. And so there are people that as of January 1st that were in the permit process that no longer are in the permit process. They are out. They have an application that has been denied because there's been inaction. And or withdrawn, I forget the exact terminology, but they're no longer in the permit process. And so they are subject to criminal prosecution. They're subject to code enforcement action and those kind of things. So,
but if there are drug wars going on now, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay. And not everybody's under scope. Now when they really are going to be the ones who are the outliers, do you think they leave or do you think it becomes more of the wild, wild west? And those who are illegal, you're going to run into armed encampments rather than a couple guys running away trying to hide out in the woods.
No, I actually think that because of our aggressive law enforcement stance right now with Fish and Wildlife, you have the Water Board working with us as well as code enforcement and environmental health, all these regulatory agencies are going after people. And I think it's only a matter of time that virtually all of illegal outdoor marijuana cultivation is going to be pushed out of Humboldt County because of our aggressive enforcement action. We are we are 365-day operation now with marijuana. So
you say outdoor with an emphasis on the out.
That's right.
Are there more illegal indoor grows going
people
on?
People do. People have. They have a way of hiding those a little bit better and shielding from code enforcement, especially when code enforcement is using satellite data now. So it is something that people are. We're looking at indoor. But that's something that we're going to be focused on in the wintertime and into the next spring.
Ah, I see. Heat-sensitive photographs.
Those
looks
are
snow everywhere except for, hey, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, and American Egg. Billy, the fire in Hoopa, I guess it's the one that's now putting the particulate into the air for most of us, a little bit out of southern Oregon also. It was shared that it was arson caused, so I suppose you found somewhere where things started. You got them yet?
No, we don't.
Any idea, or is it going to be one of those that's going to take a while?
It's very difficult to we can determine it's arson, but determine who did it, who was there, who was responsible for it. It's a very difficult task. So there's people that are investigating that. And so there's a lot of resources that were used, obviously, to contain that fire. The fire is contained. And so the operation has
burning nicely,
downsized.
By the way.
Was that?
It's still burning nicely.
Well,
it's not spreading.
Right.
But
so,
it's, yeah.
But then there's no new fire in Shasta County. So burning this morning, the Delta Fire is what it's called, north of Redding, and so that's got the Forest Service, you know, scrambling resources over there and trying to contain that fire. So
that would be a tough one just because of the terrain.
It is very difficult terrain. Yeah. So just an important message to also, I mean, this is a crucial time in Humboldt County for wildfire, to make sure that everyone watches out, no outside burns. And then if you have a campfire, make sure it's contained.
Campfires anyway?
I think in the state parks and those kind of things. But, you know, people have all these rural properties that, you know, outside they want to go and have a little campfire. Make sure that you put the campfire out. Make sure you dump lots of water on it to make sure it is extinguished.
Have your camp out on the deck.
Yeah, you should. Have a little portal once. Have a little hibachi, you know. but as well as make sure that defensible space is still defensible. Push back all that debris, that brush. It's very, very important. And one other thing, too, is trailers. When you're towing a trailer, make sure the tow chains are up off the ground. They don't scrape, because we've had a lot of fires that have started throughout the state from dragging things from trailers. Those tow chains kick up sparks, and everything is so dry that the sides of the roads just take off. So,
where did we see it? Oh, we went up to the cabin Monday, and one of the turnouts on 299. It was down where I guess it's still the Mad River Bridge, the one after Blue Lake.
Right, okay.
I was going to say where the old one was, but now it's all covered with trees, so.
Yeah.
Big grassy, and there was a little car parked in there, and I thought, why in the world would somebody pull out in a pullout that has dry grass?
Right.
You look up and you can see the smoke from the hoop off or mill fire, whatever it's called. You can see it, you can smell it, and there you go, parking in a thing of dry grass.
Right.
Now, I've been there for a while and nobody was in it, so
right.
It wasn't a danger at that moment. But I thought, what kind of mind process goes through, or is it just a lack of connectivity?
Absolutely. People don't think about it, you know, and common sense isn't so common anymore that they're not putting
that was
two together.
Lincoln, you know.
Yeah. So
it's still continuing
still,
down that trail too.
Exactly. Yeah. So still relative to today. So
And you know, obviously you can't post a cop at every turnout.
No.
Or
right.
Put a sign in everyone. And
Caltrans is recognizing those kind of things, so they really are trying to scrape all that road back, you know, and then pushing all of that that vegetation way off the roadway, and because they recognize the fires that do start from the roads. So
did that bill pass? I forget what the number was. The one was it 400 million, 200 million, something like that, to give 100 yards on each side of the highway.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know. No, nope,
yeah,
I have no idea.
Wood signed it and then, or authored it, and somebody out of the Redding Assembly District.
Okay.
Co-authored, so they had both sides of the aisle working it. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. God, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
That makes sense.
That's right. Absolutely. But think about all the devastation these fires have caused in the last, you know, 3 months. It's just absolutely crazy. You got to do something now. We got to look at our forestry practices. We got to look at a lot of things we're doing to make sure that we have some proactiveness to this, you know, and we can't just be reactionary to these fires.
Or maybe just access to where they are so it doesn't take so long to get up there and they don't get out of hand.
If that's those fire roads and those kind of things, absolutely.
I remember those.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Logging roads, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they were one and the same. When there are fires like this, does it, we know it stretches fire departments. Does it stretch cops also?
Absolutely. We had a fire in between Arcata and Blue Lake the other day, right there in Glendale, and I believe it was last Friday. Several acres. It took off pretty rapidly, and there were some homes that are in danger. So we automatically send deputy sheriffs to those incidents, and we do a unified command with the fire department that has that jurisdiction in CAL FIRE, and we link up to try and determine, are there evacuations needed? Where do they need to start? They also then activate our Humboldt alert system, so you know where people sign up for the mass notification, and that we will send messages out to the people that are in those areas that have signed up for Humboldt alert, and to evacuate or to say this is what's going on with the fire. The fire is moving in this direction. If you are north of the fire, if you're in this area, please evacuate. Or you know, it's
what if you get one of those and you're not in the area, but your kid is.
Yeah, so that's why.
Are you able to get access in?
No.
Or do you come screaming up to the edge and yell at whoever's there, my kid is,
so,
or is supposed to be,
right,
in that house? I mean, how did?
So we shut down. We will shut down access. California Highway Patrol would shut down access, those kind of things. We want less resources coming in unless they're emergency responders. Now, if people live there, they have kids there, those kind of things. You know, what we'll
do. If you're on the outside and they're on the inside, there's still some way to communicate that?
We can communicate. We can, you know, if there's, you know, we can facilitate that with law enforcement, but we want to keep people out because we don't want to put people into the danger zone.
Does the alert allow two-way?
It just sends a notification there. So, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Sheriff Hansel.
Ooh, that's man.
Just because you have a gun on you.
Ooh. That's right. Yeah, star.
No, the stars. I mean, I can buy those. I'm a star in my own mind.
That's right.
Oh, lot of crime and mayhem in the area, not agricultural related.
Okay.
Which is kind of what we talked about so far. Concerning for you?
Yeah, we have a growing crime problem, and it seems that, you know, accountability is being thrown out the window wherever you look. You know, on the state level, the governor keeps trying to reduce sentences for people that have convicted, you know, are convicted of offenses that give them a lifetime commitment. And so,
is that just to keep him from having to build more jails?
Yes, this is the big problem with our state. Is the fact is that we have more and more crime, but yet there's no plan to build more prisons, and that there is a mandate for our governor to reduce the state prison population because of overcrowding. And
it's
so,
a square footage ratio, isn't it?
I believe
the
so.
Equivalent of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, yeah, there was an overcrowding issue. There continues to be, but the fact is that we have more crime nowadays, and you can't keep putting more of that responsibility back on the local level. You know, they provided us $20 million to do a jail expansion project. And in the meantime, that project is now held up on the Department of Finance level in Sacramento since January. And so now we have 9 months worth of a delayed project. And as I went to the Board of Supervisors this last month and told them, we have escalating costs because of that. And so there's, you know, again, every month that we delay this project, the cost goes up. And so I'm just really trying to work with the governor and their state and our legislature to try and, you know, streamline this process so we can do our jail expansion, because we do have more and more of that responsibility to house these offenders that really should be in prison.
But there's no recognition from the state? That this is their responsibility?
No, this is, again, that you keep looking at things that are going on with Prop 47 and Prop 57, and then this continuing to be a de-escalation of crimes and not holding people accountable. And they're trying to reduce the amount of time, potential exposure people have for committing these serious or violent felonies. So it's an issue for us.
Well, maybe it'll become a campaign issue. I was going to say this fall, but hey, we're there.
Yeah, we are. People need to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, perhaps we'll hear about it.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Next month.
All right. We'll just go out on that one.
Thanks,
Brian. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye-bye.